Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, shit. Here we go. It's episode 2. It's the Thanks for Trying podcast. It's season 4, man. Fuck. And you know what? It's part 2 of my very special guest, the Thanks for Trying podcast regular, Alan Mustafa, aka Sipa, aka MC Grinder. And as you can hear, I get progressively more drunk while he stays progressively equally as sober as he was at the beginning. And if you haven't listened to part one, go back. There's a lot of things you won't understand. So go back and listen to that. And if you have listened to part one, you're in for a real fucking treat. The music you're hearing right now, under this, under me talking, is the instrumental. Today I'm Gonna Change My Life, one of my new singles. It's out now on every streaming platform you can ever imagine. Go and listen to that right after you listen to this. Big up. It's a brand new week. It's a whole brand new week.
We're pretending.
It's a whole brand new week. Yeah. And I think it's the drill starts again. It's been going for a week. I haven't been able to sleep. We should get straight back into business mode. Are we allowed to talk about the film?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Shit. So we've got a film coming out. Yeah.
Ooh, not me and him.
No, oh yeah. Shit. Yeah. No.
Our film is
one day,
is
maybe.
One day.
We'll work towards that. So People's Enough in the movie.
Yeah.
Big in Japan. It's mm-hmm. called. And I don't know. I can't really say too much. Basically, when is this going out?
Probably soon. I might even just drop it straight away.
All right. Cool. So I think the trailer. Okay. So it's going to go out in the cinemas, I believe, August 18th.
Right.
Yeah. Or around that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the trailers will be coming out very soon, within the next month.
That is so
as we
soon
speak, we are
out
in April. But so, May time.
Yeah. That is so soon for the film to be coming out. I didn't expect it to be quick.
No, because it was ready last year. It was done and dusted. It was meant to come out last August. Thank God, in a way, because we actually got more time in the edit, pulled it out of the vaults again, unlocked it all, and do you know what I mean? Had a little play about with it and made it better. And when I say we, that was led by Jack Clough, the director. Shout out Jack and all his hard work, and Gareth, the editor. What can I say about it? It's set in Japan. Mm-hmm. It is, I guess, going off the back of what I was saying last week,
last week.
About an hour ago. Yeah. So basically, going off the back of saying how we've never seen them succeed or seen them. We've seen pretty much everything you could do within that small world of people just do nothing for all these characters, you know, marriage, babies, life getting in the way of your passion, getting older, mm-hmm. birthdays, kids, all this stuff. So we thought, like, making a film, like, how can we make that different? The one thing we haven't seen is them having a taste of success. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So, and it's a thing, isn't it? It's like big in Japan is a saying and is a thing, because you have like artists or bands or whatever, little subcultures that might not have success anywhere else apart from Japan.
Yeah.
Because they're so good at like picking up on little niche things and blowing them up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So, it's a little story about these idiots from Brentford.
I see you tentatively.
Yeah.
Not trying to hit on any spoilers.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is like a Kevin Feige Marvel moment here where you don't want to be dropping off. Actually, fam,
Do you know what it is?
Captain America was a Skrull.
Think of it like this,
Steve's is a Skrull.
It's seeing your favourite idiots in Japan.
Yeah.
And like seeing them out of their comfort zone for once, man.
Fish out of water.
Like, yeah, bro. Like it's a proper fish out of water story. And just these guys from, they're not even from, they're from the, even in London, they're kind of from the outskirts. They're from the outside looking in. Do you know what I mean? They've never actually been to where the bright lights are. And now they're going to where the brightest light shines.
Oh, yeah.
Japan, the home of neon.
Neon, baby.
Obviously, bear shit happens and you learn a lot. And
some deaths.
Some
marriages.
Not no deaths, but some depth.
Oof.
Yeah, man. I'm super proud, man. And we had an amazing time filming out there. I guess we can talk more about the process than what actually happened.
Yeah, the process
in the
is
film.
Fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't need any spoilers. I'm excited to see it as a fan, and that is going to be amazing. And the process, of course, involves you being in Japan, which I know that you love anyway. So what was it like to have an excuse in a way just to be in like your favorite place? I mean, apart from
exactly
Vietnam.
Yeah,
like,
of course. Yeah. But you know me and it. I love Asia, man, in general. And I only ever got to see, some of the more affordable parts of Asia, like i.e. Vietnam, Thailand. Mm-hmm. And Japan was something when I was younger, it was just out of, you know what I mean? Like it's not a cheap place. It was always on my radar, man. I always wanted to go there. And when we was writing the film, like I said before, we wanted to do something that was different, man. Like, you know, putting this sort of grey little mockumentary on a big screen had to be different enough for people to want to go see that in a cinema. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when we was writing it, we were sitting there, and I think John, the producer, was like, "How about?" He was thinking of loads of different ideas, and he's like, "How about it's them like sort of becoming famous and it's in Japan?" And we were like, that'd be sick, but
can we afford that?
Can we afford it? And I was like, would we be able to film it out there? He's like, probably have to cheat loads. I was like, pointless, isn't it? And he's like, although I don't know. I was like, nah, but it would be a sick idea, isn't it? And he's like, and we're like, yeah, it would be. And then we're like, but hold on, let's put that on the back burner, because we can't just go to the powers that be and be like, this is the idea, because if they say no, we're back at square one again. We've wasted all our time in this room. So we started thinking of other ideas, and we were like,
big in Cardiff.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, what if they go to, you know, they go on tour or whatever? And I'm like, but that would be better in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, everything we're saying is like, because seeing all these scenarios happen, but also to add to that, you chuck in this fucking mad alien place that's completely out of their comfort zone. You know, and we get to film it in Japan, isn't it? So
what, I mean, look, this isn't going to be a spoilerific, that, you know, it doesn't, this question, you don't have to worry about it, but I'm a guy that loves logistics.
Yeah. They say that about you.
They do. If anything, put that on my tombstone. Corian,
the logistical nightmare.
I always thought that on my tombstone, I want like
Aaron. Fuck's sake, Aaron,
Dave. on my tombstone, I want look behind you.
Oh fucking hell, yeah!
That would be real good, at the bottom.
Yeah.
Corian, he still thinks you're a cunt.
Yeah.
1985 to when am I going to die? Probably a couple of years till 2025.
We'll go feel that on your neck. Yeah. That's me. Oh my god, there was wind at the time.
You feel that chill? That's me, baby. P.S. I still hate you underneath. P.S. Just keep going.
Look around. I'm everywhere. Oh, that's gonna be my one actually.
Oh, right.
As well, isn't it?
Well, actually, if you want, have your gravestone opposite mine.
So
if mine says look behind you, and then they look behind, and then they see yours, and you're like, everywhere. I'm everywhere.
And then we want them to run.
And then run. Maybe a third tombstone.
Yeah. that in some, the way of where they're running, so they fall hurt themselves. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Just says run. That can just be anyone. That could just be a random.
Dig up another old grave and use it as that.
The reusable bone scenario. A classic.
Yeah.
A classic, if anything.
I'm good with that. I'm gone by then, so I don't give a
I don't give a shit. Yeah. You know, people are like, oh, how do you want to be remembered?
Yeah.
You know, I had group therapy and we were talking and this older gentleman was talking about how he wants to be remembered. And I really don't give a shit. I'll be dead, mate. I really do not care.
I do care about how you be remembered because I kind of want to leave my mark. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because
you're leaving generations and families.
Oh,
and
that is
like
true.
That,
okay,
you know?
True.
But I don't care where my physical is. Because it's gone. Like, not to get too morbid, but my dad passed away, you know, like about 9 years ago now. Mm. And I don't, his grave's in Prague. And I don't feel no way about that because I'm like, that's just, you know, not to get too like,
no,
but
clear,
like,
man.
That's just his bone. That he's not there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I don't mind about the physical. The physical's gone, but he lives on forever through the memory.
That is true. No, true. Do you know what I'm saying? Good point.
Yeah,
all right, fine.
And that's unfair because I mentioned a dead dad, so you have to say,
sorry,
man.
No, sorry, man.
Like, it's your fault that he died.
No, but I don't care if people remember me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, they might be like, oh, who's that guy? Who's that guy that said that thing that time?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if they don't remember me saying it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, true.
If you know, like...
As long as they know you said something.
Exactly. No, I would much rather like people remember me now while I'm alive and I can like bask in the glory of...
You want people to bring you flowers now.
That's right. I want flowers right now.
Everyone tell us we're great now. Not when
Please do. Especially you, Dave.
Yeah, you fucker.
You better fucking listen to this one. Okay, so my logistical issue, Corin, the logistics guy.
Good memory.
What was it like? Like, was it easy to? I always think that when people do shoots in a different country, is it easy to like work with like local teams and translators and like?
I tell you what, bro. Like, if Japan is the land of efficiency. Mm. Yeah, and I'd already seen that on. That's one of the best things about this as well is that because we're writing it as well, we're gonna need a little research trip as well. So cool, boom. Year before we went on a little research trip. So, and even then, even without filming there, we saw how efficient it was, isn't it? That's
amazing.
All we kept saying.
It's amazing.
God, this is efficient. Even just stuff like a hook in the right place on the door, like, why don't we have this? This is so
ergonomics.
Simple.
They've got it.
Yeah, bro. So like, when it comes to filming, fuck me. None of them, they don't even need to speak a word of English.
Yeah.
And it's more efficient than here. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because there is a bit of a language barrier.
Mm.
Kind of like, but because Japanese people are so like hyper intelligent and like helpful and caring that they can get shit done anyway. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that anywhere you go, you can communicate through hand gestures and whatever, you know, and probably Google Translate as well. But like, and you know, the fact that they work on in film, they, you know, they, some of them have a basic grasp of English and some of them don't, but it's cool. Like, I don't know. It was just the most efficient shoot I've ever been on. Man.
Wow.
That's sick. Like, and they're proper cool and their jokes and they're teaching you, you know, like you're learning about another culture while you're on a job. That's sick. It's bare times on a job. You're just standing around.
So it was just a beautiful experience.
So there, you're not just standing around sitting in your trailer or whatever. Mm. You're there. Do you know what I mean? You're fucking around with them. You're like, you're learning things. You know me, I love finding out about the OG food spots and all that. So I'm learning bare about all that. And so logistically it was sweet, bro. Like,
thank you for your list, by the way. You gave me a fucking long list.
Is that for Vietnam?
You did for Vietnam, but you gave me one for, because I was, the last trip I took, you were in Mexico, I was in Tokyo.
Oh yeah, shit, of
literally,
course.
Literally,
oh, bro,
January 2020.
Bro, my list was strong.
Such a strong list. Tokyo, obviously, I'm like held together by sellotape with 1 billion food allergies.
There's
a lot of ones. I couldn't get that like amazing, the sandwich. Like, I couldn't do
the Sandos.
Stuff.
Yeah, because your gluten's your enemy, isn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly. Gluten and dairy.
Oh.
But like, my friend Billy, who I went
and
with.
And wheat and all the noodles as well, isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. Wheat and the noodles. Like, you know, I would eat the inside of the egg mayo sandwich.
Oh my God.
Like, all
that's
of that
crazy.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Even though when I lived there 10 years ago, I had all of that stuff anyway. So I had tried it. But
wait, you lived in Japan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it was only like 4 months.
If you, that's you definitely living. Yeah. I say, if I go on holiday for a week, I say I lived. Do you know what I mean? I lived in Spain when I was 11 for a week.
I was stationed out there. So what if you change airports? So I lived in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, 100. For three hours.
Sure. This was, you know, 2010, like chasing a girl.
Not literally, an
English girl that was teaching in Japan. That's English teacher.
She chased a girl all the way out.
That's it. I will find you. And then lived in a little mountain town called Matsumoto, which is where the
I've heard of it. Yeah,
yeah, where Yayoi Kusama's from. So yeah, there's a permanent exhibition there.
Fucking hell!
So it's such a beautiful place. So when I went in 2020,
was she Japanese?
No, English girl.
Oh, okay,
and
teaching English.
Teaching English. Yeah. Fucking colonizers.
Yeah.
And so like it was really. It was amazing the beginning of last year to go on. You know, every January, when the music industry is a bit slow, I like to go away somewhere.
It's a good month for it. I did that.
So good. And so I met my friend Billy out there and like literally just, you know, but on my own before being in Tokyo properly, I went to Matsumoto on my ones.
Again?
Just 10 years later.
How far is that from Tokyo?
It's like a 3-hour train, I believe. So it's a really beautiful thing. And I just went on my ones. I thought it would be a nice, you know, like poetic thing just to do some writing on the train. And like, also just to like reflect. Cause sometimes like, it's very
look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. Just look at myself in the mirror and be like, hey, nice. this is my Brad Pitt moment. Yeah. Okay. People are going to fucking look back on this in my biography.
Only
my
remembered life. On this train.
Yeah, exactly. And, it was, you know, it was interesting just to reflect on, especially on myself, on my, you know, mental health struggles through the years and how they haven't necessarily changed, but maybe morphed since 2010, and how I'm still shit at relationships and like still like, you know, toxic in my own special ways. And it was interesting to be on this train to Matsumoto and go to this tiny town. Like it was beautiful. But can I just say this? Don't travel on your own, people. Travel with a friend.
You want to share that experience?
I just want to share that with everyone. I went to Vietnam the year before on my ones, and it was shit. I love Vietnam,
but you can't relate that to the one doing that. I think that doing that on your own was good. That one day,
well, no, it was like 3 or 4 days.
You went 3 or 4 days up into the mountains,
yeah, and I went to see the snow monkeys.
Wow, and that beautiful. Really is an anxiety test.
Oh my god! But then you go up there, and I was there with the snow monkeys. You see, it, and I've trekked all this way, and I'm like having a great trek. You get to the snow monkeys, you're like, oh, sick snow monkeys, and you turn around to tell somebody. Who the fuck is there to talk to? And I'm like, oh, maybe if I stare real nicely into the distance, some cute girl from like Germany will come over to me and say, oh, hey, lone traveler, want to come and join us at the hostel?
Yeah.
And I was just there on my ones with some snoring guy.
I always imagine that like if I go out on my own to a bar, I fantasize about that. Like, not even chirps and just like, I'll be there and then someone will strike up a conversation.
Yeah, you'd be like Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but nothing ever like that happens, right? I can guarantee if I went traveling for 3 weeks, I'd be on my own for 3 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. That's how it works. Like some people are so good. They walk into places like
I'm bothering people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This is again what you were saying last week, where you were saying about how like, you know, like feeling like you don't deserve it, or feeling
not allowed to do that.
And yeah, anyway, Japan was the beginning of Japan was like that. And when my friend joined me, it was amazing.
Sick.
And like just going around, I had all the gluten-free ramen spots.
Okay. Was Afuri one of them?
Oh, God.
They do a good vegan one as well.
Afuri, it's a chain, right?
They do the citrus yuzu ramen.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Hard.
But it's with the cognac noodles.
Right.
Okay, look, this is going to be gross. So if you guys out there, if Dave, if everyone you don't out there, you don't like the gruesome stuff, just tune out right now. So the cognac, whatever it is, K-O-N-J-A-C noodles, which are the gluten-free noodles that I can eat. It's made from a tapioca starch or something like that. I could be wrong. I've had a few.
That's not that bad.
Vodkas. It's all right.
You said it.
I can eat. No, it gets worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're noodles, right?
Yeah.
Your body does not break down these noodles, okay?
Is it?
So it's delicious, it's tasty. When you shit, when I first shit, Dave, tune out now if you're not into this, all right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry,
when
Dave.
You shit, you think you got worms.
Wow. Shit.
You think you got worms.
So it's like the noodle equivalent of corn.
pretty much. And I looked down. I'm not.
But is it okay? Are you okay though?
Oh yeah, I feel great. I feel amazing.
Sweet. Yeah.
But when you're
sieving through it. It's just
when
weird.
You're sieving through it trying to find that ring that you lost up there. It's a scary time. It's an emotional roller coaster for everyone involved.
Did you know that before?
I didn't know it. That's the scary thing. Yeah.
If that happened to me now, it'd be cool.
It'd be cool. You know now. But like having a beetroot, you know what's going on.
Yeah. You shit red.
You shit red.
Oh, shit in blood. At junior school, I started pissing and it was red and I was like, oh shit. Like they called my, I told him I was pissing blood. They called my mum in and I went to the doctors and, I don't think they called my mum. I think I just told my mum at the end of the day. It was an extreme. Right. Went to the doctors and they were like, have you been eating loads of red peppers? And my mum used to give me bare red peppers. Mm-hmm. And that's why my piss was pink.
There you go.
So be careful out there.
Kids,
all right?
Listen. Yeah. If you're listening to this.
Cognac noodles, beetroot and red pepper. It's a recipe for disaster.
If you eat asparagus, don't worry.
Yeah.
It's going to smell.
Yeah, it's going to smell. Okay. I quite like it as well.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I'm quite. Sometimes there's like, you know, like, so that, no, I don't like it. It's just interesting, isn't it?
Hey, guys, if you want to spice up your pee experience.
It's just different, isn't it? Like,
it's something different.
Every time I have a fur from Song Q, my pee smells the same way as a chicken fur.
Where's your best spot in London for fur? Sorry, non-Londoners.
Yeah, man. So, probably Song Q. Definitely, okay. Definitely Song Q. In fact, I like to go for a bun bo hui, which is you're all right with Vietnamese because it's rice noodles.
There's no soy sauce. There's no wheat in it. It's Vietnamese food is my favorite.
Yeah.
Food.
So yeah, man. So yeah, I'd go for the chicken pho. Mm-hmm. Or the bun bo hui, which is got beef and the hui sausage and stuff like that, and it's the spicier cousin
from Hanoi.
Yeah, yeah. Hui.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Bun bo hui is from Hue. Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I think pho originates from Hanoi in the north, but now it's everywhere.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then the one that I loved is the rien something, the crab one, the crab and tomato.
Yeah, yeah, crab and tomato. I never had it. I don't eat seafood, but there's a place called The Lunch Lady. Mm-hmm. Did you end up going
I didn't
there?
Go and I wanted to go.
Been on the list.
And it was on Bourdain as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
The big guy.
They do a different thing every day and I think that one day he went on his show, it was the crab thing. Yeah, yeah.
And they had, because he went, when Bourdain, rest in peace, like was in Hanoi, he also went for the goose liver.
Yeah.
I'm not brave enough to be. Did you try that?
Nah, man. I didn't get to a lot of the places, but bro, I need to go back, man. Like, Vietnam was definitely one of my favorite places, man. I just love Asia, man. And all the different places have, you know, well, obviously you're in different countries, but such a different mix and identity. Yeah. And, you know, I want to get down to places like Malaysia and Singapore where it literally is a melting pot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Singapore just excites the fuck out of me. Like that, going to sit in the places.
The hawker centres. The little outdoor food.
Yeah. And I went to Kuala Lumpur once and that going to the fucking food market is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my
little
God.
Hainanese chicken and all that.
Oh
man.
My God. And you know what? And I was a vegetarian back then. So, but the fake meat is just miles ahead of everything.
Was they on that
early?
Early,
Buddhist, you know, a lot of Buddhists.
Of course,
Oh my God, I can't believe we took this long to even mention Bourdain or food.
I know, man.
Which
Bourdain, my idol, man.
Mine too, bro. Yeah. Mine too. And I really want to get like a print or a tattoo or a.
I've got a tattoo. Yeah.
What?
I've got no reservations in the logo, which looks like a stamp sort of
fuck
thing.
Fuck off. Yeah. That's sick.
And
go
I'll
on.
Show you quickly. Because that was the first thing that like got me onto him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that is done.
No reservations. That's how they say it on the show.
Sick. I love all the tattoos there.
Thank you
got
you,
it.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
because you only started getting tattoos recently, right?
Yeah, about maybe 4 years ago or something. Oh, yeah.
I still need to get my first one.
Because my mum said that she'd have a heart attack if I ever got one. Well, she's still alive, but I'd got one in the end. But
my mum was the same.
She's still like that till now, man. She hates them, but. You know, I've got one that's like a Kurdish map, a map of, you know, the whole of original Kurdistan, because now it's obviously been split up, but like, and Czech Republic map, inner heart, and showed my mum, and she just weren't impressed still. Oh. And that's mum and dad, isn't it? That Kurdish and
yeah,
chick.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's beautiful. Old school, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. My mum's thing was always, oh, don't do that. The police will be able to identify you real easy if you get
that's,
that.
That's gangster. Yeah, that's hard.
And I'm like, totally, completely, I agree with you, but yeah. I've got bare scars.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like, mum, maybe I'll try not doing crime.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
And then, okay, well, as soon as, look, you make your own decisions. As soon as you decide not to do crime, get your first tattoo. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Yeah, I know, but it's annoying because crime and tattoos go hand in hand.
You know what I mean? Oh, I've got a crime, tattoos, yeah. Crime.
I want to do both.
Oh, my God, can't you do both?
Oh, can't I just bust this gap and shift this key of coke and have a face tat? What's wrong with you, mum, you bitch? And just slam the door.
Exactly. Okay, if you must, Karen, just shoot a tree, okay? Yeah. All right, fine.
It's not the same with an air rifle.
Just, or shoot that person that's going to be in the grave opposite that has run. I'm really trying to pick up on those threads from earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're tapped in to, and you're, yeah. you're listening.
And if you're tapped, then cool, big yourself
great,
up.
Big yourself up.
Get some help one day.
Yeah, no, I definitely want,
tattoo.
Yeah, the tattoo.
What'd you get? Like a butterfly just below your back, on your lower
so.
Back?
Yeah, I think so.
A few stars behind the ear.
A couple stars. Yeah. Maybe a tribal tattoo. Okay,
yeah, and a koi fish.
A koi fish and thigh. Yeah, maybe some thigh.
On your thigh.
A tie on my thigh. Yeah, I think that's great. I think no one's done it really before.
It's maybe, hard though, isn't it? Like when your first tattoo, you're like, what should I get? And then.
What's your first one?
My first one was 108.9, isn't it?
Right, of course.
Kind of, which is for anyone out there that's Corrupt FM radio.
I was
going to
say that, like, Capital Radio, yeah, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I'm a massive Capital fan.
Just, yeah. Love Dr. Fox. Yes. Like, it
was I'm just into the radio.
The radio.
You know, yeah, those people. Yeah, what music are you into? Just whatever's on the radio, really. We can't. No, see you later.
I don't know.
I want you to be into a specific genre, or I can't fuck with you.
Yeah, definitely, man.
I want you to like one thing and alienate every other thing. Like a normal person, okay, me.
Me. So that was your first one. But also, that's not going to change. That's part of your history.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everything I've got is something that had, it's like something to do with one part of my life, but like it is. It's just things that I'll never get older and go, oh my days, like why did you get a Corrupt tattoo? What? Because that's fucking, it's a massive part of my life.
Why the fuck would you not?
Know what I'm saying? My Kurdistan and Czech Republic, that's always going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Air Max 98 trainer.
Sure.
I wore Air Maxes for, even if I stopped wearing them now, I wore them for 30 years, you know what I'm saying? So,
but also, I feel like it doesn't, from people that have lots of tattoos, it doesn't, after the first couple, you kind of,
it doesn't matter. All that starts happening is the OCD kicks in. You're trying to get symmetry. You're trying to work with symmetry.
Okay.
You're trying to
And
I've got one on that side. Let me get another one on this side.
Yeah.
Boom.
Again, look, I've got a big scar on my foot from the operation I had.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with there not being a scar.
Scar's a bit more techie, man.
Yeah, it's a little bit more techie.
Yeah, it's like, I've got this big opening in the front of my body. Maybe I'll get one in the back. Just start acting real brazen on my own in the hood at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, that's a...
Passing people a knife with holding the blade. Here you go, mate.
Yeah, here you go, man.
Handle your side so I don't hurt you.
I wonder if that would work with like a liposuction. If I just walk, just be like, guys, here's the needle.
Oi, do you know what? I did think that when I was getting... I have mad thoughts, mad irrational thoughts.
And this is
immature.
This is the podcast of irrational thoughts.
So I started thinking, do you know what? Maybe it's a good thing I'm going to have this fucking operation, because when they cut me open, maybe a bit of fat will come out with it. And why wouldn't they just take it out? Just
why wouldn't
while
they?
You're
why,
there,
why you're in
take
there?
Take it out. Do you know what I'm
there?
Saying? If they can do it with liposuction, do it with this.
Great idea.
Kill two birds.
Did they not?
No, because you know why? They're out for that paper.
Oh, the papes.
They're out for the pilau rice.
Shit. Yeah? The peas. Yeah, that sounds about right, man.
I should have chucked
anything,
him a little nifty.
Do you know what I mean?
Can you just scrape a bit of the fat out?
Boy, why are you there, love?
Just take a bit of my fat out, please.
Boy, why are you down there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you ever heard this penis enlargement stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Just take the fat out and pop it down.
Pop it down, mate. Yeah, pop it down.
Yeah.
I think, why didn't I do that when I had surgery? Could have got butt implants.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Do you know
yeah,
mean?
Yeah. Just move it around a bit.
Just shake around.
Just move it around.
See my moves.
Put it into my shoulders.
See my moves. Put them in my balls.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I've got notoriously massive balls, so I don't.
Right. Fine. Okay. Yeah. I mean, mine are like
average.
Decidedly below average. Yeah.
Your balls.
Yeah. Balls.
Wow. Decided, just like shriveled.
Below average.
Yeah, yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah.
The
nice.
The normal one.
Yeah. Mum told you that was all right when you went to school.
Totally fine. Totally fine. Totally normal.
They're all weird because they've got two. Okay.
Yeah,
darling.
Totally all are completely this exact same size as the shaft. Just you know, this little metal thing,
ball things
that knock each other. That's pretty much what it looks like down there. Okay, so I can't even remember what we were talking about. Did we welcome I've cut out the segments in this part of the season. Since you're the first episode, I may as well explain to you as I'm explaining to everyone. I'm not doing the segments anymore.
Okay. It's just more like a
just
bareback.
A chat. Yeah, bareback,
free flow.
You know, zinging, straight zanging, in, beer, singing and sanging, clanging, fucking. You know, just you
smashing
know,
smashing into things head first.
You know, yeah, that's it. I was gonna say chatting shit, but I don't want to.
Well, that's my thing.
That's your thing.
I'm the only person that's ever chatted shit in this world.
Literally, yeah.
If you're listening to this, make sure you check out the chatting shit podcast of me and Hugo, whose beats are in People Just Do Nothing.
Series two.
We just released series two.
Series two. I'm waiting for the call up.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
When I move up to Y list,
Corin Brockovich is coming on.
Corin Brockovich is. Why wasn't that my rap name?
That would have been a sick name, man.
Shit, son. So we're not chatting shit. We're talking. Yeah. Talking pee.
Free flow. We're on basic right now. We're on free flow.
We're on a free flow. But I just didn't, you know.
We're walking around the wing with grey tracksuits on.
Literally, we're loosey goosey right now. We've got real.
We're putting snooker balls into socks. We're getting a tuna can.
Literally, we've got no pants on right now. Okay, so look, I just thought with the segments, you know, I still want to. You know, did anyone like the segment? I don't even know if I liked them. You know, we're just trying stuff out. I feel like this is the most loose podcast format out there.
Yeah.
And if people appreciate that, great. You know, if Dave appreciates that and wants to stay on, fantastic. Like I don't even know. I feel like it's so meta.
Yeah.
My whole podcast. Yeah. We're referencing things from season one.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about my gravestone. You know these other cunts that's all about, oh, what do you want to fucking eat on your death row meal? I don't care, bro.
I don't care. I'm fucking want to throw up. I'm going to die in a minute.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be nervous, bro.
Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah.
I'm fucking scared.
More than ever.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
All right. Now fuck off out my sight. Stop asking me the same question everyone else.
Like, you know what I mean? There's and then I thought, well, maybe I should make this podcast about beefing with other podcasts. Maybe that should be my whole thing. And
especially when you've got your arch nemesis, me, here in the podcast.
This is it. Maybe I should start inviting people on who do other podcasts. Just so I can have beef with them. Yeah. Tell them.
Just sit them down and go, so what the fuck was all that about? What? You've done your own podcast. You knew I was doing podcasts.
The only one.
That's kind of how I felt. Like, I messaged you. Oh, I messaged Daz, who does the F64 podcast. Almost a bit apologetic. So me and Hugo starting our own podcast, because I had such a great time on your one. I thought maybe
that's so sweet, man.
But you know, we are brothers in arms now. We are all part of if there was a podcast, what's it called? What's that thing that looks after everyone in the world?
Union.
Yeah, but the one that does it for in wars and stuff like that.
Oh, the UN.
Yeah, with the UN or podcast. Yeah.
With the UN podcast. Yeah. I mean, the thing with podcasts is that there's no, I never understood it when people are so, holding them tight, being like, I've asked certain people who will remain nameless, who have their own podcast, it does kind of similar things to me with similar guests, with none of the verve that I have. I've asked them to come on, and they were like, I'm not really guesting on other people's things. And it's
and that's mad, because you know how successful I am and how massive I am, and I've come. So these,
do you know what I mean?
These lot of
pieces
of shit.
You've taken 30-40 steps down.
Yeah. Well, give me the numbers and I'll start prank calling them every day.
You know, I appreciate that. Yeah. And so and what I don't get is people not wanting to. Because I just don't care.
People don't want to just chat with me. What's wrong with
me? Why don't people want to chat with me? No, but the podcasts have this thing where it's like we'll self-destruct after fucking 45 minutes, Mission Impossible style. Mm-hmm. You're not going to go back and listen to a podcast episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to. No matter how fucking amazing it is, I've laughed to the point of fucking crying and jizzing myself at some podcasts. Yeah. I'm not going back and listening to them.
Unless it's the Ricky Gervais, Carl Pilkington and Steve Merchant one.
Oh, really?
For me. Only because I leave them on in a bit. It's like a comfort thing, isn't it?
Right,
do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but you're right, because how many times have you not... Yeah. How many times have you got
this,
not?
Thank you, man. Talking is quite mad for me.
No, how many times have you not known what to watch and this just chucked on
Simpsons always?
Yeah, you know, there you go. Yeah, to me, it's like Friends or Peep Show, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, you won't do that with podcasts.
No.
I'm like, fuck. There's no new one's been uploaded, and
for me, it's stuff you should know. Yeah. Stuff you should know is there's so many episodes of it that I can
What's
put
that?
It. It's literally where two guys in America. Just go through and fucking like analyze. I'm gonna burp. Analyze. I didn't want to do it. I had to tell you because otherwise I was gonna be like, oh, so it's these two people. So that just basically find a topic and then just start going through it for 50 minutes.
Okay.
Just like going, all right, this is the thing you should know about. Like, was electricity today or like electrical power?
It's a bit like a podcast.
Power distribution. It is a podcast.
Oh, it is a podcast. Oh. I thought you meant it's some TV show.
No. This wait a second. So what you're describing so is a podcast.
Almost like a podcast.
Oh my God.
Very much so like a podcast.
Yeah. Actually, what we're doing right now is kind of like a podcast. What?
I'd love to do an actual podcast one day.
Hey, me and you should do a podcast one day. Yeah, we should really do that. But yeah, no, stuff you should know is fascinating. Like, you really learn so much. Like,
okay.
I put it on because there's so many of them. I put it on as I'm going to sleep.
I can know that. Yeah.
And I'll put it on for 20 minutes and like, not because they're boring, because it's so comforting.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'll put the sleep timer on so I'm not missing too much.
Yeah.
But it's fucking comforting. The real fucking saucy ones. I'm waiting. I'll listen to
it. Knowledgeable. You are soaking that info while you're sleeping. You wake up the next morning and you know everything about that.
I know everything about everything.
So, do you know what I'm saying? That's actually a real good, do you know what I mean?
It's fucking smart. The next day,
I know
all about you. Smart. You loyal. You know all about fucking, like, I was listening to one about balding. I want to know about balding.
Mm.
I live balding. I want to know about it.
Yeah, it's true.
But one thing you don't need to, but like if the day comes, like plugs, would you do that shit? Because I'm bald as fuck.
Plugs in the hair. Yeah. Oh, what, going Turkey and that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hugo talks about it all the time on
Does
our
it
podcast.
On your podcast?
Yeah, he just said, no, I mean, not, you know, yeah, he's serious about it. He's like, his is not balding, his is thinning, like real thinning.
Right.
And you know, fucking, I feel like I'm not dissing him.
No, because this is public.
Yeah, this is public.
Talk about on Chan Shit season 2.
Yeah, because funny enough, he said he had a conversation with his dad about it.
Yeah.
On the phone, I was chatting, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to have to go Turkey. Yeah, sort of as a joke, you know what I mean? And his dad was like, what do you mean? His dad's completely bald. He's like,
right.
People go to Turkey, innit? To get a hairline back and shit.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, really? And then apparently he called him back to ask more information about it and shit. He's like, but I don't know how it works if you're completely bald.
I don't think you can if you're completely
bald. So what's plugs then? Is that the same thing?
No, I think plugs is probably different, where they literally sew in...
Plugging?
Hairs, yeah.
Is that the same thing? Yeah.
So it's like something that I pay for.
Yeah.
No, I think plugs is literally where they just sew in hairs into like the pores.
Got ya.
But I think maybe the Turkey one is where they
just bringing about the hairline.
They take a patch of skin from the back of your head.
Yeah. Oh, so then you're laying some lawn fresh
some
on the
lawn.
Front, and then that lawn grows
and the lawn
like a football
grows.
Pitch. Yeah. Oh shit.
But then what? You know. But then you, as I've seen some people, then they only do it on the front, and then the back starts going, and then they've got all this shit on the front.
You gotta start
wearing
only hooded jumpers with the
and you've got like
tied up.
Yeah. And then you've got this big old ball patch, and then you're like, well, what was the fucking point?
But it buys you a few years.
It buys you a few years.
Because no one gives a fuck once you're older.
Look, I'm 35. I'm allowed to be bald.
And also, yeah, but you've got a nice shaped head.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a tiny pea head, bro.
And you've got a great head of hair, so you're fine.
That's all I'm all right. I've got
you're good, bro. Look at this
though.
Fucking Brad Pitt
hair.
Up in here, man.
But, but that's exactly that, though. Like, I feel like
you should be banned from wearing hats.
I know, innit? Because
you're not allowed to
wear
hats.
And it makes you worse if you wear hats. It makes it more fitting.
I think that's a fallacy, man.
Okay, cool. Because, yeah, you're right, man. That's why I started getting haircuts that are more like more shout out the top of the hair more.
Whereas before I used to do it
mad short.
Enjoy it
while it's there and it lasts. Yeah. But
I started going bald when I started growing a beard, like age 6.
Oh, that's that, do you know what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like you need a beard if you're going to go bald, innit?
You've got to have a beard. It's
to show that you can grow. Like, there's
context.
Still testosterone somewhere.
Yeah, and also you need
context.
You need to have context for your face.
Yeah.
I say this. I've said it on plenty of episodes before. Because otherwise, I look like a paper plate.
Yeah. Because you need a bit of colour palette. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, or a
pie
chart.
The brown and the beard.
I just look like a Mr. Potato Head without any of the bits.
You know what? You're lucky, man. You get away with it, bro. Because, and you've got the piercing blue eyes.
Appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying?
But when I've shaved the head and when I do the head on zero and the beard on zero, just a little reset.
Yeah.
I look like, I look fucking weird, man. Well, I look like, you ever watched that film Powder?
Nah.
You never seen that?
Nah.
So the kid's been kept in the basement for like his whole life and then they let him free.
Wow.
And he's just so pale and like got alopecia.
Fuck, seen. Okay, that's you. Yeah, great. Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're like,
fucking hell, yeah.
Oh, God, this is the self-gunning.
Well, if you ever,
podcast.
You know, if you start doing what we were talking about earlier, you might have roles where, do you know what I mean?
I'd wear a wig.
Yeah, but they might want you to just shave everything off and not have the wig.
Oh my God, man.
Like, one of the things I'm going to be doing is letting my hair grow out and shave everything apart from the moustache.
Fuck off, that's dope.
Bro, we did a taster for it about a year ago. Yeah. And so I only had to, it's a day shoot or 2 day shoot. So for that, I only had to go around for a week with it like that. But I looked, you know how you get like some hipster dudes that like, they're tall, they're fucking gaunt, you know what I mean? They've got like the cheekbones and they've got a moustache that can hold it up.
Yeah, they can
I look like a fat pedo, honestly, bro. Like, I can't hold it up, but this weight loss thing now, that's going to be the true test when I shave the beard off, do you know what I'm saying? When you let the jawline show.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because anyone can have a jawline with a beard, do you know what I mean? You shape that up, boom, you're there. Yeah.
That's the real test when you get, you know, I had my little January Corona depression beard post breakup.
Do you ever let the hair grow out? Like,
look, I would look like a vicar, man. I'm not trying
That's what I'm saying. So do you have to shave regularly then?
Every 2 days I shave my
hair.
You
do, yeah. Okay, cool.
Like pretty much. When it's like, when I first shave it and I've got the beard, I'm like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm fucking bald, baby.
Yeah, I'm
happy as fuck.
Yeah.
When it comes to like 3 or 4 days, I'm like, I look like someone's divorced dad. Do you know what I mean? I just like, this
you're
is
so not, young. That so must, young. That ages. Is that, I watched it the advert today where I was like, this guy, that's a wig, that, because his face was so young, but he had the two patches on the side of the head. I'm like, that makes him look like he's 60, but I bet he's about 30.
Two patch Shakur, bro. I can't be dealing with that. You need to shave it all off, and then you look fucking young as
it's
shit.
Mad how it's hair changes good, shit, bro. Isn't it?
Like, yeah, look, I feel to show you that every time I fucking, let me just do it.
Well, have you got a picture?
I got a picture of me with the tash.
We'll have to post this.
I don't know if I can focus. I've got a kind of shirt off. Look at this shit.
Wow.
That's with the tash. I just look like everybody's uncle.
Old Tinder profile pic.
You know, what I mean?
It was topless as well.
It was shirtless. He didn't get to see the old.
We just saw the fucking bone muscle from the shoulders.
You know what I mean? He didn't get to see the old.
Saw the collarbone. You know when the collarbone's popping out a bit. It's a muscle.
Didn't get to see the old milk distributors. He's got.
The old UHT.
The old UHT, bitch.
Send skin. Full fat.
Full fat, baby. Oh, man. Yeah, so no tash for me.
Blue top.
I really want to dye my beard one day.
Really?
Know? Yeah, just like a...
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think it's a thing.
My friend once, he's like, you know, like you get them people with black, sort of light brown hair, but it's basically almost ginger, and then their beard is very ginger. Yeah. So he turned up one day with a jet black beard, and I was like, "Yo, you dyed your beard?" He's like,
he goes,
"No, I didn't." I was like, "Bro, you dyed your, it's jet black." He's like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." Anyway, he sort of moved on. It wasn't until like a week later he admitted to it, but it was jet black.
So like, I don't want to dye it like.
I want to dye like blue, celebrity fucking, musician sort of vibe. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I may as well just get like...
Leopard print.
Yeah, addicted to like Zannies. Like a drummer. Like do some fucking lean.
Do you know what I mean? Get your first tattoo on your left cheekbone.
Oh my God. I'm coming up to 36. I've got to have another crisis soon,
bro.
Like, I feel like I'm due another good crisis.
I may as well just embrace it.
Embrace the fuck out of the crisis. And dye my beard. But yeah, I don't think I'll dye it black. Because I've been getting crazy grays.
Yeah, but you've got your very fair, your beard, so you can't really tell, innit?
Oh my God, you can... When it was longer, when I saw you last time, yeah.
Because yours like, you've got almost auburn sort of...
Yeah,
like,
auburn, which, yeah, it's super...
Mine's, my natural hair colour is pretty much jet black, but I mean, very dark brown,
jet
so
black, baby.
Jet black. But yeah, man, you can see the grays easy, early as well.
Early. So, all right. So I feel like Dave is probably, we want to make sure that Dave's happy during this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there like, I'm not planning on stopping anytime soon, but I just mean that like, is there anything that you wanted to talk about? Cause I know you mentioned the podcast.
Yeah.
We've covered the identity stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything that like is burning you that you that this is such an open...
Oh, fuck. Do you know what? If we're talking about things that I'm up to as well, we've been working on music as well.
That's right.
So alongside the film, we're dropping a Crutch Film album. And this is the first time we were doing original music, isn't it? Because, we've done like a few tracks, but like the last thing we've done was The Lost Tapes, and that was kind of like a homage to Crispy Biscuit, Heartless Crew. Mm. So it's just like a mix, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. With us spitting over the top, other people's tunes. But this time, because in the film... can't give too much away. In the film, they're left with a little bit of residual PRS peel-out. So when Grindr comes back to England, he decides that he wants to make greatest hits. And then they realise that, I mean, this isn't even in the film. This is me explaining it.
Fine. This is like the comic version.
Exactly. We have to make our logic within the world. Yeah. He decides that he wants to make his greatest hits album, even though they've only got like three tracks.
Yeah.
So they... You know what I mean? We buck up with... So this album's like, we've worked with people like Sir Spyro,
Sick.
Rude Kid, MJ
Spyro,
Cole, man. Zinc, Fred Again. Just like, also like younger producers like Louis B. Mm-hmm. It's just like people that we've kind of always been fans of.
Yeah.
And we've got one single that is coming out. Fuck it, I can say, man.
Go on, is this exclusive?
Yeah, I think it might be exclusive.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
But Summertime, it's called Summertime. It's with featuring Craig David.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, it's a banger, man. It's a proper summer vibes, E1. We've got another tune with Mist and JK.
Mist, man. Like, I mean, JK's crazy. Both of them are fucking incredible. Like, both of them actually have that amazing, like, thing, which I only really get from DMX and Giggs, where when I hear them spit, it makes you want to like throw something against the wall.
JK, for sure.
Out
of respect for them.
Out of respect.
Yeah.
And also just be like, fuck this shit,
man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they get me so aggy. It's fucking dope. Like,
JK's sick, man.
He's so much
one of my favorites.
You know when you're just like...
Sex.
You know when you have all the heart in every word that you're saying?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like,
I'll think of the word in like 10 minutes time.
I know exactly what you mean though, bro. Like, when we was in the studio with him, we was there for like maybe 5 or 6 hours just chatting. You know what it's like in studio, innit? Like, most of it's just chatting, innit? Fucking around. Yeah. And then he's just sitting there kind of like mumbling to himself, writing something on his phone. Then he just gets up, spits this bar in one take. Doesn't even sound like it's that it's gone that far in a room. You know what I mean? It sounds like, oh, is that just his practice take?
Yeah.
He sits back down, you listen back to it. He's fucking, the cadence, everything's hit hard, like sick his bar.
He knows exactly how
to carry himself, and it's exactly that. You can hear that. The heart in every bar, even though it's effortless for him. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially a sound like this. This is just fun for him. Do you know what I'm saying? This isn't his album shit or whatever. This is some Corrupt FM shit. But, you know, appreciate his time
But you say that because we're self-deprecating people. But this is like, it's not just Corrupt FM. Like, you know, you have to give yourself somehow.
Yeah.
I know it makes you feel uncomfortable, like it does me when I get anyone saying something nice to me or about me.
Yeah.
But you've got to give it the entity that you created.
No, for sure JK is lucky to be in working with me. And that's how I feel deep down, but you know.
Deep down, yeah.
Nah, but do you know what it is? It's because the music side of things is more fun, isn't it? Like, it's the more fun side. It's these characters fucking around, you know what I mean? Whereas this is his life for him, isn't it? So you have to appreciate when someone comes from, you know, their world is music and they're coming to bless you up with a little something, break you off a little something. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so then this like begs the question, the same like MCU kind of question.
Beg it.
Do Mist and JK exist as themselves within the Corrupt KCU?
In the universe. Yeah for sure. They don't want to be there and they've just been paid. Do you know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing.
Okay, six.
We even filmed some shit with Mist in the studio and he a bit too effortlessly pretended he hated us, didn't look up from his phone and then went, where's my money at the end of it, kind of
perfect
thing.
So, okay, because I asked him on a previous episode as well, like, who else is in the KCU? Other TV shows, what other, like,
nothing.
And he were like
nothing.
He said this country could potentially be in the KCU.
It's a similar sort of world, but I'm not a big fan of crossovers and shit,
especially
if you're both doing the same thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're both playing these characters, and it's like, do you know what I'm saying? It's nice to see these people in the real world or whatever,
people that aren't playing
along with it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So everyone, everyone else, rappers, grime artists, they're literally playing themselves within a corrupt cinematic
universe. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Is there anyone that doesn't exist in the corrupt cinematic universe? Because you wouldn't be there, as Sipa doesn't exist.
Nah, Sipa doesn't exist. That's true.
That's weird, bro.
Yeah. That's a good point.
This is going to trip me out.
Yeah. So all musicians do.
Asim Chowdhury doesn't
Actors
exist.
Actors don't. Yeah?
Apart from
Jason Statham and Idris Elba.
Interesting.
Yeah? It's people that, the only people that existed in a corrupt universe are people, action stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
And grime and garage and reggae and jungle.
Cool.
MCs and DJs. Yeah.
This is tripping me out.
Yeah.
So does this mean all the records that Hugo worked on?
They don't exist.
Don't exist.
This
is fucking me up, bro.
Yeah, Next to Me doesn't exist. Heaven doesn't exist.
All of the sick like filming work that Marv does doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist, bro. Yeah, it's
within
true.
Within the corrupt cinematic universe.
Marvin Alvarez is not a director. It within the corrupt universe.
Oh my god, this is blowing my mind, bro.
Kevin Alvarez doesn't exist because Marv hasn't got a brother.
Whoa. This is tripping me out. I don't think I can come back from this. I'm just like,
I never thought of any of that. Like, that's crazy, isn't it?
Okay.
Might be a good exercise.
How deep can we go?
Yeah.
Who else gets that?
Yeah.
Okay, sick. That's fucking amazing. So the film will be out in August.
Yeah, so the album will be coming out around that time as well. The singles will be leading up to it.
Okay.
Yeah, man, we've got it's a dream, man. We've got to work with some of our favourite artists. We've got P Money, Blacks, Footsy, Big Nasty, D-Double, you know, people that we're mad into and. So yeah, man, shout out Fred again as well, man. Like, it was sick being in the studio with him. He kind of almost execed it, man. Just looked over the whole thing and he's done some amazing things. So it was sick being in his presence and all his boys, man. Like, shout out Hen and
Does it tick the box Red. For you of being a rapper? Like, I know that being
it fills that hole for sure. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
it does. It fills that hole in me, man, for sure. Just enough. That's all I need. You know, because growing up, I just wanted to be an MC and then I wanted to be a rapper. You know, like, there was no hole for acting, you know what I'm saying? Like, to be filled. Now that's the new hole.
That's
my new arsehole, isn't it?
Yeah, we found a new hole. you thought we couldn't find a new hole.
I'm the man with two assholes. Shout out Asim on that. Definitely, man. It feels that maybe there's almost like a bit of competition within me when it comes to that. I'm not competitive anything, but when it comes to going on the mic, it's cool though, because there's no pressure, because it's a joke. And especially, you know, I think on this album we've taken it up another step. And Grindr gets lyrical sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But like, lyrical on some conscious shit, but flow patterns get techie, yeah.
But your flows are always super techie.
Very
anyway.
Much so,
like,
very much
what
so.
What was that remix that you guys did that was fucking, and you had that verse on it and it was like...
Oh, Kane.
Yeah.
I spin man like Grindr. What type of Grindr? Yeah. Wait, shout out JK, because even he says that I spun everyone on that track. You know,
trust me,
and I'm pretty sure he doesn't even like me, so that's a lot for him to say.
Do you still get that where you just think, oh, I think those people just don't actually like me?
Yeah, I think that. All the time, and I feel like at the end of the day, it's probably not anyone's responsibility to like me. Do you know what I mean? I got my friends, but it's one of them ones, isn't it? It's like. You can have those thoughts, but what it is that people are fucking busy, and that people have their own lives. No one gives a fuck about anyone.
This is
else,
what we were talking about, actually, about we put ourselves at the center of the
exactly.
Universe,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That like them times we're insecure, because you got, I don't know, walk into a pub and you feel like everyone's looking or whatever. Like those insecure moments, really and truly, no one gives a fuck. The most beautiful thing you can find out is that no one gives a fuck about you. It sounds ironic, but it's true. You know what I'm saying? And because what you're looking for comes from you, really. Respect yourself. Have a bit of fucking self-respect and pull yourself together.
You know what? And that's
advice to myself.
Yeah, that's advice
in the mirror.
We've got a mirror right here. We've been doing the whole podcast.
I just slapped myself.
Staring at the mirror.
I just spat at myself in the mirror. Sorry about that.
That's all right, man. It hasn't been cleaned in a long time. There's a lot of fluids on there. But that, look, that's a beautiful moment to round off part two of having you on my
Square
podcast.
Up.
That is like a beautiful thing. You're going to go off to Muay Thai.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
you're going to go fight some people.
I'll fight a bag.
You're going to go fight a bag.
Yeah, I'd love it if... I mean, I wouldn't love it. I'd love if people thought I was fighting people.
I think so. By the time, you know, like next year, you're going to be competing
big,
and stuff.
Do you know what? Kieran fucking went to 5 lessons and then got wrecked and signed up to white collar. And like, it ain't the same as boxing. Muay Thai, white collar, it's a different level, isn't it?
What's white collar? Just like...
It's like anyone can sign up, but you have to train, innit? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So and then fighting. You have to compete.
You've got to compete, fight, yeah. But Muay Thai, you're getting fucking kneed in the head and shit. It's not just getting punched in the head. Do you know what I'm saying? So lucky the pandemic, that was with the pandemic. Luckily, the universe is on Kieran's side, man.
I wouldn't do that shit, man.
Yeah, man, it's mad, isn't it?
Unless I'd done like years of serious training.
Yeah, exactly.
That I feel confident enough.
That you're confident enough to get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that is the most humbling, fucked up 100. Experience ever. Where you like get random, like, I think the last time I got hit was like randomly on a bus with someone who is like, obviously going through mental issues.
Sometimes it happens in London, you get someone just randomly kick you
and then they're talking to themselves and you go, well, you can't be you can't be upset at that, but it still humbles you and fucks you up in the same way. if you were in a fight and you got knocked out.
It's true,
and
man.
There's something so beautiful and peaceful about being okay with being hit.
That's what I'm saying, because ironically, if you're trained for that, you are probably trained to not be beaten up as bad, and or you know what I mean, like you'd be on this because you know a real good fight is when people are both trained to a sufficient level that they can get away with having that fight and not just getting fucking hospitalized.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So, shout out the pandemic and saving Kieran.
You know what? And we haven't even talked about Corona or the pandemic very much at all. So shout out the pandemic.
Shout out my Taste Cadets as well, actually.
Big
my Taste
Cadets,
brothers. If anyone's listening out there, me and Kieran and Marky, my two best mates, we go around the world trying different bits of food and we film it, and it's on an Instagram channel called Taste Cadets.
It's
and
great.
Also, there's an episode where we've all been on your podcast, isn't it?
Dave.
Yeah, Dave, listen. I know you've just found out about that last skeptic.
break
it down.
But listen, Dave. Now, to be fair, knowing Dave, he's listened to that episode already with Taste Cadets.
Oh, true.
Do you know the thing that pisses me off the most about Taste Cadets? Mm. It makes me hungry.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
It's really
that's
upsetting.
That's another thing,
actually,
isn't it? Like, I love watching food stuff. I can always watch that. It's my favourite shit. But
Kieran was making a duck thing, I think, a few months ago.
That sick little duck shepherd's
and
pie,
I watched that back more than I've rewound porn.
Yeah,
you know,
bro.
It's like
that's another thing you're gonna have to cut out if you want to get on it.
Yeah,
healthy and all that. I've had to cut out watching food things because it makes me eat more.
Right.
I used to love watching it while I'm eating, so I could eat more.
Mm.
I'm training for being fat.
You can't watch Bourdain
without sand on your lap.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. strong little lasagna on the lap.
Yeah. One day I want to get the invite of just coming
along
with me. Just,
yeah.
I don't need to be in it. I just want to eat.
I've got a little saying. Not part of your invite, but yes.
Oh, damn it.
First of all, 100% down. Yeah,
thank you.
That's, of course. Goes without saying. Second of all, we're planning a trip, actually, where it's been obviously a lockdown and also, even when the borders open, it's just fucking, might have to quarantine and all that sort of shit.
It's long.
We can't afford to take time out of our lives and work and stuff like that to go further afield, which we usually do. In fact, we had Japan booked for January, which we had to cancel. And so that's still there. We're ready to go. But when shit gets back to more normal. Anyway, so we've teamed up with these electric bike company called Fully Charged. And we're basically planning, this is super early stages, it was going to be London to Paris because it's slightly easier, even though it's still mental. But if the borders don't open, it might be a London to fucking Scotland to Inverness, where Kieran's from, innit?
Sick.
And like, obviously, on normal bikes, you'd have to be training for about a year.
Yeah.
You got to fucking be on all the gear and all that. Here we can be slightly more swaggy because we're on the e-bikes, but we still have to do a few little training ones. Because once you get to them fucking, once you get to Scotland and you get to those hills, even if you're on an e-bike, it's a fuckery, innit? So yeah, man, that's going to be the next big trip. And that's hopefully that's happening in the next few months, man.
The food, man.
Yeah, we'll be stopping up. We're doing it for charity, so people can donate. We'll be stopping off in different towns, little Airbnbs and that, trying different foods and that, and just, you know, cycling for like 6 hours a day.
Barnsley, we're coming.
Whoa, son.
What up, Barnsley?
Yeah, yeah, what Super's up, Barnsley? What up, Hull? You know what I'm saying?
What up, Hull?
Yeah. What up, St. Wreatham? Streatham.
St. Wreatham.
And then we'll be filming it all and we'll put it all on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like killing, and we'll be getting fit from it, so killing like five birds with one.
Is it five birds?
I mean, smashing their heads in, but then eating them.
And then eating them. Whoa, that's beautiful, man. Yeah. Damn, goddamn. I need to. I forgot to ask you to. I was going to cop on them Taste Cadets teas off you. Are they sold out?
They're sold out. But
oh, there you go.
You know, in within this universe, there might be one left. I could. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll bless you up, man.
I appreciate that, man. I need to do the coppage. All right. So, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
That was the most really sincere thank you I've ever said.
I know. I liked it. The pause between.
He paused.
So you're auditioning for a thank you.
So, hey, so you know that film you're making about thank yous?
Yeah.
this is my demo tape.
What about this one? Thank you. I like that.
I got a little bit of frisson from that.
Yeah. What about this? Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice. What about this? Thank you. Yeah?
Hey. Don't worry about that sound. Don't worry about that sound. That's unrelated.
Ed's grind,
that's
if you're listening.
unrelated to me wanking.
Yeah. All right, safe.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Nice one.
Yeah, okay. No, thank you very much, man. Big up yourself. And thank you, Dave. All right,
yeah, please. Thanks everyone for listening as well.
Right now, I'm talking over the instrumental to Friend and Enemy, another brand new single. It's not the one from earlier. It's a completely different one, you know? Don't be confused. This is also online to stream. I'm going to play a little snippet of the vocal version right after this, but not too much. Just a little tease, so you want to be like, oh shit, I want to OCD complete this experience by going onto the streaming platforms and finishing the whole thing. Hit me up with who you'd like to see on season 4. Message me, at me, The Last Skeptic, spelled in the worst way possible. Just think of that and then hit me up. And big thank you to Sipa for coming down and chatting shit with me. And go listen to his podcast, Chatting Shit. And watch the brand new Corrupt FM, People Just Do Nothing, big in Japan film when it comes out. I'm fucking excited for that. Episode 3 will be coming soon, I promise. I just don't know when. Big love.
I won't write a song about you, you ain't worth it, you're the plague in my skin. I'm the vermin, you're the judge and the jury, I knew the verdict, you're the blade in my hand. I'm the surgeon, cut clean my broken heart, need to make something new from these stolen parts. Destroy, rebuild, broken half, it's the cigarette toke in the dark. Inside screaming, lips hold a joke and a laugh, you're so damn petty. Focusing hard, trying to change my plot, but you're holding my arc. Got a target on my back and you're throwing the darts, yeah. You just like me cause I'm moody. One foot in, never too deep. Breathe good music and a movie. Drink my blood, give it to me. You're my friend and enemy. Look to the mirror, no one is better than me. Say it out loud, don't put yourself down. Yeah, no one is better than me. You're my friend and enemy. Look to the mirror.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.